Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Botox Cosmetic, onabotulinum botulinum toxin A, FDA approved for over 20 years. So, talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you.
For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300.
Remember to ask for Botox Cosmetic by name. To see for yourself and learn more, visit BotoxCosmetic.com. That's BotoxCosmetic.com.
What's good? Sports Machine Sean Levine on the mic tonight, in for JR on the Infinity Sports Network. We got Monday Night Football going on as I speak. 10 minutes left till halftime. Da Bears up over Da Vikings, 7-3 from Chicago. Caleb Williams looks like he's, well, improved for sure. 10 of 10, 86 yards through the air, no touchdowns, no picks. He's done a good job scrambling around, 3 carries for 29 yards. That's how the Bears got their touchdown on the ground. So far, so good for the Bears and Caleb Williams. They've got the ball moving down the field, up 7-3. J.J. McCarthy, we don't know anything yet. He's thrown the ball 2 times. He's 1 for 2 for 5 yards, been sacked a couple of times. So Minnesota hasn't done a whole lot, although they got a field goal on the scoreboard, 7-3 right now. Bears with the lead. I'll keep you updated. Ryan, were you good at science in high school, or was that like not your subject?
Well, I was good at chemistry and physics. I was kind of average to a little bit above average in bio.
Okay, I'm asking for a reason, because let's take a guess, both of us, and at this point, who cares who looks like the bigger dumbass? How long do you think the lifespan of a housefly is? I have not cheated, I swear. I have no idea. Don't Google it. Just give me a guess first. What do you think? Like, is the average length of a lifespan of a housefly?
3 weeks.
You're going 3 weeks. That sounds short to me. I'm going to guess, I'll say, is 1 year ridiculous? Now find out for us, and I'll tell you why I'm talking about it. Because here at this radio station, I've got a normal screen window that sometimes I like to let the air blow in, but sometimes bugs get in. So about 10 days ago, I think I was on with you, actually, a bug flew in, and I'm like, can't have this. It's too distracting. And so when it flew back against the screen, I closed the window. So basically, I got it stuck between the screen and the window. You see where I'm going here? And so I don't think it could get any food or any water or eat whatever bugs eat. And this thing looks like it's incredibly healthy. In fact, it looks like it's about 3 times bigger than it was last time. So I'm wondering how long I'm going to have to deal with this thing. Did you find out how long a housefly lives?
I did. 15 to 30 days. So about 3 weeks.
Look at you!
I know.
Look at you!
I just know they plant a lot of eggs, so they can't live that long.
Do any insects live for longer than a year? I'm making you some research now.
I'd assume surely, so. Cicadas live underground for a while.
Yeah, there you go. Cicadas, they live. Yeah, but are we sure they're not, like, reproducing at a crazy speed like Wilt Chamberlain, and then all of a sudden there's just new cicadas, and that's why they seem like they're always there and fresh and new? No, I don't know. I'm just talking in the microphone.
When they come up and do the weird noises,
yeah,
that's when they're mating. They're trying to find people to meet with.
Are you making this up?
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm like a solid 85% sure.
Okay, well, then we'll go with it. I mean, what the hell? It's getting late on a Monday night, and there's a game going on right now, so we'll talk about it. Cicadas, apparently you're trying to mate. Who knew? Like, how about the queen bee? Find out the lifespan of a queen bee. Surely that thing's longer than a year. Caleb Williams with the first incomplete pass, by the way. 10 of 11 now for 86 yards. Through the ground, 3 for 30. And that touchdown that I was talking about as the Bears give the ball back to the Vikings. So, not a ton going on here. 8:55 left until halftime on Monday Night Football. On Sunday Night Football, before we talk about it, did you find the lifespan of the queen bee?
2 to 3 years on average, but it could get up to 5.
For those elder queen bees. All right, enough about that. Last night on Sunday Night Football, on paper, going into that game, I think a lot of people thought there was a chance that it could be the best game of the week, and maybe if everything played out perfectly, it could be the game of the year. And now, I can't imagine. I know we've got a full 16 games left on the NFL schedule. There's no way we're going to be more entertained than that game last night. 41-40. Buffalo beats Baltimore. Even heading into the game, it felt like a preview of the AFC Championship game. And afterwards, I'm sure of it. Those aren't just the two best teams in the AFC by a pretty wide margin. I think they're the two best teams in the NFL. Nothing against D.C. or Philly. I know that Green Bay is getting a lot of love after the Micah Parsons deal. All those teams are great, but it looked like what I saw last night, those are the two best teams. Now, defensively, left a little bit to be desired, but I thought that was more a showcase of two great offenses, two teams that have been trying to break in, knock that door down for the last 6-7 years, and now's their time. It feels like the Chiefs have taken a little bit of a step back, and at one point in that game in the fourth quarter with like 6 minutes left, there was a 99.4% chance that Baltimore was going to win the game. It was a foregone conclusion. Baltimore 1-0, Buffalo 0-1. Baltimore at that point would have become the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Everybody would have believed in them. Lamar would have been the favorite to win his third MVP. We should be talking about that. But then somehow, I don't know if it's more, Baltimore blew the game. Derrick Henry had the fumble. It felt like the play calling was a little dicey, which we've seen before from John Harbaugh at the end of the game. At the same time, everything had to go absolutely right for Buffalo. Not only did they have to get the fumble, they had to score the touchdown, they get the two-point conversion, they had to bring the old kicker on the field at the end of the game. And yeah, it was a chip shot, but if we saw NFL kickers this weekend, there's no such thing. That game had absolutely everything. And I can tell you this much as a Chiefs fan, there's no way the Chiefs are beating both of those teams. In the past, the Chiefs' trick in the playoffs has been the one seed. So they get the one seed, which means a couple of things. You don't have to play the first game, so there's no chance of you getting upset, which happens a lot. Look at a team like Detroit last year who got the bye, and then as soon as they played, they lost their first playoff game when everybody thought they were on their way to the Super Bowl. So just because you've got home field advantage, even just because you're the one seed, doesn't mean much. But it's a much easier path to getting to and winning a Super Bowl than the alternative. Again, look at Detroit last year. If everything would have broke right for Detroit in the playoffs, they got a bye, home cooking, sleep in your own bed, watch your own TV, and then you get a drive to your home stadium, win two games. Next thing you look up, you're in the Super Bowl. Now, it didn't work out that way. But look at a team like Minnesota, who didn't win the division. Now you don't get the bye, you don't get the home game, you got to travel, you got to win three games on the road to get to the Super Bowl. That ain't happening. So I think whoever ends up being the one seed in the AFC is going to have a much easier path to get there, and it's not going to be my Chiefs this year. I don't even know if my Chiefs are going to end up winning the division. First time in a long time, as we speak right now, they're a last place football team. The Raiders won a game. They played New England, so I'm not going to pretend like all of a sudden Vegas is good, but they're 1-0. Denver, same thing. A little bit dicey. Didn't beat a great football team in Tennessee, but they won the game. And the Chargers looked great, and they played the Chiefs essentially on what was a neutral field in Sao Paulo. And not only the Chargers looked like they were the better team, Justin Herbert looked like he was the better quarterback. And it wouldn't be completely crazy. It wouldn't be completely out of left field if that's how it plays out this year. If the Chargers finally are a better football team than the Kansas City Chiefs. We all know that the Chiefs have won the division 8 years in a row. You've probably heard that. Did you know that it's been the Chiefs or the Broncos that have won the division the last 13 years? So it's been 14 years. If you're getting bar mitzvahed, all you know is the Chiefs or the Broncos winning the division this year. It feels like the Chargers have a real shot. They've already got the game in hand. And Justin Herbert, it's time, man. It's funny how we're harsh on these quarterbacks, these young quarterbacks that can't win the Super Bowl, that have run into Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Oh, Josh Allen can't get it done. Lamar can't get it done. Trevor Lawrence can't get it done. Well, at least they get there and give themselves an opportunity. What has Justin Herbert done? Why don't we talk more about him? Why don't we talk more about Kyler Murray when it comes to young quarterbacks that were drafted high that are underachieving? But I digress. Back to that Bears game. Let's see what's going on. 6:52 left. Bears got the ball back till halftime. Up 7-3. Caleb Williams 10 of 11 for 86 yards. J.J. McCarthy threw the ball around a little bit the last drive. He's now 3 of 4 for 12 yards. So when I say a little bit, I mean a little bit. Let's not pretend like that wasn't a giant risk that the Vikings took. And it's so early on. When I say it's not paying off, I'm just talking about for the here and now. You traded away Sam Darnold. And I know that Sam Darnold looked terrible in the playoff game, and he looked terrible in the last regular season game. What about the other, 16 games? When he won 14 of those? When he put up 35 touchdown passes? When he basically came out of nowhere? That wasn't the plan. The plan was, let's draft J.J. McCarthy, put him on the field the same way the Broncos did with Bo Nix, and the Commanders did with Jaden Daniels, and the Bears did. Last year's draft picks at quarterback all hit the field right away, except for Drake May, but he was hurt. That was the plan also for the Vikings. They just had to scramble. J.J. McCarthy gets hurt in the preseason. They end up having to go with Sam Darnold. It's not like Sam Darnold was just okay or good. He was great. He was the reason why they went 14-3. And now we're seeing what a rookie quarterback looks like. The numbers, I'm not too worried about them. It's early on, 3 of 4 for 13 yards. It's more the eye test. It's the body language. This is a big game. J.J. McCarthy got drafted in the top 10. He's coming off of an injury, and the franchise basically put everything they have into him because they traded away a quarterback that came off a career year and 14 wins to go with you. And now you're going on Monday Night Football, last team to play. Everybody's watching you. The stage is to yourself. And not for nothing, the kid grew up 25 minutes away from Soldier Field. So that's a lot of pressure. And we've seen, everybody's heard, all pressure makes diamonds. Pressure also makes Arch Manning. You know what I mean? Like, just because you've got all this hype, sometimes guys go out there, and just because they're millionaires and they're famous and they're athletes doesn't mean they don't actually feel it. So J.J. McCarthy, I would be surprised if by the end of tonight we're talking about him out-dueling Caleb Williams and the Vikings getting the win. Caleb Williams so far has looked really good, 10 of 11 for 86 yards. As far as the rest of the NFL weekend went, let's fly through some of these games. Green Bay looked as good, if not better, than expected. And if there was any question about the impact of Micah Parsons, I think you saw it. People question, is he worth it? Is he overpaid? Is he overrated? Well, those are fair questions, and I would say, yes, he's overpaid and overrated. But if you're Green Bay and you've got the money available, and all you're trying to do is get from being really good to great and get you over the top, I think we saw Micah Parsons is a pretty good way to do that. They're 1-0 in division. Green Bay's a problem. 27-13 over Detroit. The Cardinals beat the Saints 20-13. If you were listening to me a few hours ago, I was campaigning just to give the Saints the number one pick right now. Let's play out the season, but let's just hand them the number one pick. That quarterback room is unfairly bad. Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shook, Jake Haener. I wouldn't know any of those three guys if they walked in right now with a full uniform and their name tag. For real. So let's just give them whoever the number one quarterback is coming out and move on. The poor Saints, they lost 20-13 to the Cardinals. Tampa, in a game they probably should have lost at the very end of the game. So Tampa scores a touchdown. Baker Mayfield's great. Baker's like a top 5 or 6 quarterback. He's been that since he got to Tampa. He was good. 3 touchdowns yesterday. Come back. But even after that, Atlanta's coming down the field. So they come back. Tampa does. Scores a touchdown late in the game. Gives the ball back to Atlanta, Michael Penix Jr. All they need is a field goal to tie it up. To their credit, Penix Jr. and the Falcons did what they needed to do. Come down the field. And then Kuhn misses a chip shot field goal, which we saw all day long. That was Atlanta's chance, in my opinion, to get off to a good start, have a good feeling, beat a division opponent. Now they're just another team. Really? You look at that division, Tampa's going to run away with this thing. And then the Giants and the NFC, well, they got whooped up 21-6 by DC. The Giants need to go with Jackson Dart this week, and it was already announced earlier today that's not the plan. They're going to go with Russell Wilson as their starter. If that's Brian Daboll's decision, then maybe that's why Brian Daboll has the record that he does and he's on the hot seat as he is, because that's just not a good decision. It really isn't. And it's not just from a fan's perspective, and I'm not a Giants fan at all. But if I was a Giants fan, how can you be behind this team and that decision rooting for that quarterback? I'm talking about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has played his way out of being a first ballot Hall of Famer. When he went to those back-to-back Super Bowls, they just would have handed the ball off. He would have won 2 in a row, put him in first ballot no matter what happens. But then he goes to Denver, and he's okay, only good enough for them to say, yeah, we're good, and to draft Bo Nix. And then he goes to Pittsburgh, only for Pittsburgh to say, yeah, we're good, we're going to go with an aging Aaron Rodgers. And then it's just now the Giants got exactly what we all thought they were going to get, and somehow Brian Daboll is the last one to find out. When you've got Jackson Dart, why'd you draft him? How far behind the eight ball are you trying to set him when he finally hits the field? You're only 0-1. There's some talent on that team. There's reason for optimism and excitement because you're only 0-1. But if you go 0-2, are you still going to say it's Russell Wilson? 0-3, 0-4, then what after a month? If you're still the head coach, Brian Daboll, then you say, okay, now we're going to go with the rookie. What did you gain? What's the point of being that loyal to that player? I understand some guys have been in the organization for a long time, or you've committed to them because you've been their coach since back in college or whatever it is. Why is Brian Daboll so committed to this version of Russell Wilson? It's a very weird hill to die on. And the same question, why did you draft Jackson Dart if you're not going to put him on the field when your quarterback goes out there and completes, what was he, like 17 of 37 for 150 yards? Russell Wilson was exactly what we thought he was going to be. So, Brian Daboll, it feels like you're digging your own grave, my guy. And then real quick at the AFC, Indy beat up on Miami. It's not good either when you talk about coaches on the hot seat for Mike McDaniel. I mean, Daniel Jones went out there and looked like Joe Montana yesterday. The Bengals, they won, albeit not convincing, over the Browns. I thought, in fact, I called it a Levine's lock. I said there's no way the Bengals don't cover that 3.5-point line, and they won by one against a Browns team with a Joe Flacco at quarterback. I mean, come on. The Bengals are not part of the elite. Who's the guest we just brought on that was like, it's the Ravens, and it's the Bills, and it's the Chiefs, and it's the Bengals? It was Will Ortner. That's crazy. What makes the Bengals elite? Because a few years ago, they went to the Super Bowl. And then Pittsburgh, I'm not saying they're elite, but they might be the second best team in that division, beat the Jets in a wildly entertaining game, 34-32. Let's keep talking NFL on the other side. We're going to welcome on Jay Binkley right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Sean Levine.
Word up. Thanks for checking me out this Monday night. Speaking of Monday night, we got some football going on in Chicago. Bears up 7-3. Bears with the football, 4:28 left in the first quarter. Caleb Williams, 10 of 13 for 86 yards and a rushing touchdown. J.J. McCarthy, not a whole lot of anything, 4 of 7 through the air for 19 yards. In just a minute, we're going to welcome on my guy Jay Binkley from 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City. Speaking of that Kansas City Chiefs game, I had trouble watching, and it's not because the team didn't look good. It's because the whole YouTube thing, like, goodness gracious, why do we have to combine everything? Why can't I just watch a football game? Why do I have to go to a sideline reporter that's, what was he called, dangerous or dangerously? And I'm like, maybe there's an alternative where I can just, like, watch it normally, and then I end up watching the iShow Speed, like, from his closet. It's like, I thought these people were fake, and they lived inside of my cell phone. I don't even know what these people do. To me, YouTube is for the Battle at the Kruger video. If you don't know what that is, check it out. Or if I want to see some old, like, Jay Williams white chocolate highlight passes, that's what YouTube's for. Not for the Chiefs and the Chargers. What are we doing? Anyway, speaking of the Chiefs, let's welcome on my guy Jay Binkley from 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. I'm sure you got your eye on this Monday night game, Bank, Bears and Vikings. Just out of curiosity, what are your thoughts for J.J. McCarthy? Because I watched him in college, and he was aight.
He's great, but I'm waiting for a Mr. Beast update, right, from YouTube.
Yeah, enough of that, dude. What the hell?
Who's Mr. B? I'm getting old. When you watch that, you realize you're old. That's what happens.
I realize those people are real. I thought they literally just were part of the internet, but not real. I thought they were holograms. I didn't know.
Well, here's the interesting thing about it. I don't think the ratings are what YouTube wanted, but here's the thing. So the Chiefs were on the first ever Netflix Christmas Day game, the first ever Netflix game with the Chiefs.
Netflix and Chiefs, baby.
Well, the first ever Amazon Prime game was Chiefs. First ever Peacock Playoff game was Chiefs.
Oh, wow.
The bottom line is the Chiefs, the NFL owes them a little something, because every single streaming partner, which the NFL makes millions of dollars on, they asked for one thing. They asked for the Kansas City Chiefs. So they got him again this weekend. But no, as far as J.J. McCarthy, I was excited to see him play tonight. I love to watch him in Michigan. And he's just a fun player to watch. You know, we'll see what he's, you know, capable of. Again, when guys college to NFL, things can be kind of a harsh learning experience for a lot of guys. But I always liked watching J.J. In college. Now, Caleb Williams, on the other hand, I actually like Jaden Daniels throughout the draft process a lot more than Caleb Williams, and I still do.
What's fair expectation for Caleb in year two? Because it's year number one for a new head coach. I think that's head coach number three for him. He's looking good so far, Bink. 11 of 14 for 102 tonight. Do we think he's a top half the league quarterback by the end of the year?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's tough to crack that top half at this point. But, yeah, having been Johnson's much different. I mean, he just needed a capable head coach. I mean, we all see the importance of coach-quarterback combinations in this league. It's like Bo Nix and all the success he had last year in Denver with Sean Payton. It's the success of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. It's that, it's this quarterback coach combination. And sometimes they can be a defensive minded coach if they just gel real well with their code, with the quarterback, and understand what kind of offensive coordinator they need. It's like Tom Brady and Belichick. Belichick's a defensive minded guy, but it worked well with Tom Brady. But Ben Johnson, a good coach finds plays for a quarterback to run. It's like, I remember Bill Walsh. Remember him with the 49ers?
Sure.
He wrote a book, and in his book, he was talking about, like, he'd be out to dinner, and he'd write a play on a napkin. He'd think about a play for Joe Montana and sit there, you know, and write it out on a napkin, like, this is a play for Joe. He'd be out to dinner with his wife or whatever, write it down. Andy Reid's, you know, he's called Mahomes at 4 o'clock in the morning because he's got a play for, you know, a play design saying, man, what do you think about this? I mean, that's that rapport that coaches and quarterbacks have, and Ben Johnson strikes me as that kind of guy. So we'll see what he can do with Caleb Williams. Caleb did put up some decent numbers, but he didn't have an offensive line. That offensive line was terrible, but there's zero excuses now. Like, there's none. You get one of the most creative minds in the NFL as your head coach. They get Joe Tooney, first-team All-Pro guard from the Chiefs. You got Romo Dunze, a stud wide receiver. You draft Luther Burden from the University of Missouri. I mean, there is zero excuses for the Bears now if they can't win.
Jay, to your point, we're talking with Jay Binkley here on the Infinity Sports Network. To the point you just made about the quarterback and coach combo, and if you got Mahomes with Andy Reid, we saw that last night, John Harbaugh with Lamar Jackson, and we saw Sean McDermott's been there the entire time with Josh Allen. Was last night's game, which was unbelievably entertaining, was that an AFC Championship preview?
You know, maybe, Sean, I don't know if you saw that tweet that was out there today, but no team has ever won the Super Bowl that gave up at least 40 points in their first game. And you know what? Both Baltimore and Buffalo gave up 40 points.
Oh, wow.
In that game.
I see what you did.
I think the top tier in the AFC going into the season, obviously things change with injuries and suspensions as the Chiefs, but I always thought that top tier was Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo, and it was weird going in the weekend because you knew that two of the three teams would have a loss. So once Kansas City lost, and once Kansas City lost, it's like, all right, Sunday, well, Baltimore or Buffalo, one of them's got to lose. That means two of the top three teams in the AFC have to lose. But yeah, I think the top three teams were Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore. Baltimore's looking for a little revenge on Buffalo, what happened last year, and they didn't get it. They could have got it. They were well up in that game. Derrick Henry's fumble didn't help them, but very shocked at the results of that game. Just feel like Baltimore had firm control of that game. But John Harbaugh has 17 blown double-digit leads.
That's crazy.
They find a way to be a dominant team, and it looks like at times that nobody can beat them. And that's the way that Baltimore rolls. And they get to the postseason and, like, change their game plans. It was weird. You know, Kansas City went into Baltimore, beat them in the AFC title game. It's just they played a completely different game than what won games for them earlier in the year. That's a great roster. I think they have the better roster of any of the three teams at the top of the AFC is Baltimore. I think they have an exceptional team. And Lamar Jackson's just an awesome quarterback, and so is Josh Allen. But, they just find a way. I mean, some of those teams, you just get to the postseason. For example, Patrick Mahomes is 5-1 against Lamar Jackson. 5-1. And he's 1-0 in the postseason against him. He's 4-0 against Josh Allen in the postseason. 4-0 against him. So, yeah, these guys need to step up at some point because, you know, they don't want to be remembered in history of being in the Mahomes era. They never got to the Super Bowl because they couldn't beat him.
Doesn't it feel like, though, Buffalo is now what the Chiefs were a few years ago? Like, when Patrick Mahomes first took over, and it was about the same time Josh Allen did, so I'm not pretending like Buffalo hasn't been good, but we know that
same amount of games.
So when you look at the individual stats, but I'm talking more about the teams. Like, remember how the Chiefs used to get in these type of games where they get down big, but you know they're going to come back and win because you know they got the best quarterback on the field. Sure. The fan base was hungry at that time because they hadn't hosted, what, 7 AFC Championship games. Doesn't it kind of feel like it's Buffalo's time and they're where the Chiefs were a couple of years ago?
You know what? It's been feeling like it was Buffalo's time.
That's fair.
And you remember a couple of years, the Kansas City Chiefs going to Buffalo, like, in the playoffs.
Underdogs.
You know? I mean, they got the AFC Championship game here, but 2 years ago, they had to go to Buffalo. You know, it was a cold game, and they got Kansas City exactly where they wanted them. You know, they weren't playing an Arrowhead. They've had success in the regular season playing against the Chiefs, but they finally get the Chiefs where they wanted, playing in Buffalo, and they didn't get the job done. And they've had their opportunities, but the windows close in the NFL very fast. And, you know, Buffalo's had a great defense. I remember, you know, that defense came to Kansas City in the playoffs in the divisional round. I remember 13 seconds is what Mahomes had to go down the field and tie it, and he did. And it looked like Buffalo was going to win. They were celebrating on the sideline. They were going to win. They were going to finally beat the big, nasty Chiefs. They didn't do it. And these windows shut so fast in the NFL. You know, ask Miami. Miami was a playoff team for a couple of years. They were Tyreek Hill. And they're junk right now. You know, once the Bengals got to the Super Bowl, they've been on the couch the last two years watching the playoffs. You know, the Rams took a step back once they won the Super Bowl. The Buccaneers, you know, without Tom Brady, took many steps back and finally starting to rebuild themselves back up. But all these teams that are great, they don't continue to be good. Kansas City's gone to 7 straight AFC title games. And that's the one thing in the offseason, when everybody talking about Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, it's like, if either one of those quarterbacks had gone the 7 straight AFC title games, keep this in mind about Mahomes. Since he's been a starter, he's gone to the AFC title game of the Super Bowl every year. Every year. All 7 years. In the 2 AFC title games he lost were in overtime. So he's never lost in regulation in the AFC title game. So his season has always gone long. And that's why these other quarterbacks, when's it going to be their time? Buffalo had the number one defense when Mahomes went down the field in 13 seconds. Number one points per game defense in the NFL. This defense for Buffalo was slipping. And if they didn't cash in all their chips when that defense was great in Buffalo, that was the perfect combination. Great defense and having Josh Allen. Now, the Chiefs have been able to cash in with this defense. They were 4th in points per game against last year on defense, 2nd in points per game against on defense the year before. Those 2 years the Chiefs won the Super Bowl back-to-back against Philly and Frisco, they were number 2 in the NFL in sacks those years, so they had the defense with it. I would be very, very concerned if I was Buffalo or Baltimore about giving up 40 points in the first game. Yeah, it's better than losing a game like the Chiefs. I get it. Well, not for Baltimore that gave up over 40 and lost the game.
Yeah,
but if you're Buffalo, like, how good are you feeling? It was great to beat Baltimore. That could be the number one seed key card that they're holding right now. But how good are you feeling giving up 40 points?
Bears kick a field goal.
It was a nice comeback and everything, but you still gave up 40 freaking points. That should be concerning.
Not a great look for the first game of the season. Bears kick a field goal in Monday Night Football, 24 seconds left till halftime. Bears 10-3 over the Vikings. You mentioned
here's the one thing, Sean. I mean, it's like week one is always weird, man.
Sure.
Last year, the New Orleans Saints won their first game by 37 points.
That
Washington,
happened?
Who went to the NFC title game, lost the first week by 17 points. Yeah.
Wow.
Week one is a mirage.
What about how good Green Bay was? Was that a mirage, though? Because I thought they were already the team to beat in the division. Now they got Micah Parsons. They looked awesome.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Green Bay's, they're building some things, and they needed a guy like Micah Parsons to complete. I'll tell you, really needed Micah Parsons, and was Cincinnati. Like, yeah. I'm shocked they didn't make more of a bigger play, because Trey Hendrickson back, at least just for this year, getting this deal settled, they could have had that for the long term. And they've already paid Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Burrow and all this. They could have had that stud on defense. I'm shocked. As someone living in Kansas City, that is the one thing they didn't want to see Cincinnati get, is a guy like Micah Parsons. But yes, this kind of completes Green Bay, and a guy that can change the course of a game at any point. And you see the growth of Jordan Love and what he's doing, and Tucker Kraft, what he's doing on tight end for that team. But yeah, just Green Bay's going the right direction. And when you throw Micah Parsons in the mix, it's perfect for them. I still don't think they're one of the top two teams in the NFC, though. I still think Washington's ahead of them, and I still think the Eagles. I mean, you know, the Eagles are still a team to beat to me.
What about the, and I'll get you out of here with this one, Jay Binkley joining us here on the Infinity Sports Network, the old Green Bay quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. He looked great in his first start with Pittsburgh. They beat the Jets 34-32. Was that just lightning in a bottle week one, or is that what we're going to see from Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh this year?
I don't think so, man. I mean, that team really rallies around him, you know? I mean, he can still spin the ball, man. He was doing that. And then with DK Metcalf there, and, you know, Mike Tomlin just doesn't have losing seasons. He just doesn't. He's a winner, and he's paired with the guy, you know, to get him through the season. And I think this was the perfect situation for Pittsburgh to get, because next year the draft will be in Pittsburgh. And I think they have like 12 draft selections. So that's when they're going to draft their quarterback in the future. So this gets them that bridge to the end. But I think Aaron Rodgers still has something left. I mean, the guy was just a back-to-back MVP just a couple of years ago. And of course missed that whole season with the Jets with injury. But yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is still capable of doing it. And the team's rallying around them too, so that's a good thing. But that pairing with him and Tomlin, again, I think that's a good quarterback-coach combination.
He's still the biggest tool in the shed, though. Afterwards, he's like, I want everybody in the Jets. All right, dude, we get it. Vikings kick
he's being honest, John.
Yeah, honesty's not always the best policy. Jay, you're the best, man. Thank you. I appreciate you, guy.
All right, guy. Take care.
That's my man, Jay Binkley. Like I said, Vikings kick a field goal, 10-6. Bears. Game's about to go into halftime, 10-6. Bears with the lead coming up. Final segment on the other side. You know how we do. We're going to play a game of overrated, underrated, and I probably just stole some of my guys' thunder giving you the update on the NFL game. So here's your official sports update with Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Sean Levine.
Final segment for me tonight, but don't go anywhere, because guess who's taking over the microphone next? I'm going to give you a clue. Cowabunga, dude. No? Eat my shorts. No, Bart is next. Bart Winkler is coming up next. I thought that I liked the name, what was my guy's name? Biff Pogi? Honestly, Bart might be a better name than Biff. I don't have any sons, but if I do, especially if I have two of them, one shall be Bart, one shall be Biff. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you're like, what's this guy talking about? I have no idea what I'm talking about. But Biff Pogi has been named the interim. Biff Pogi has been, and you should see the guy. He looks like a Biff Pogi. I don't think he owns one shirt that has sleeves, which is cool. I'm part of team cutoff sleeves also, but not when I go to work. This guy is a coach of a college football team. It works at Charlotte. Do we really think Biff Pogi's going to be on the sidelines coming up on Saturday from Michigan with cutoff sleeves? That's incredible. Anyway, Biff Pogi for a couple of games going to be the Michigan head coach. I'll get you updated. Nah, nothing's going on. It's halftime. Bears up 10-6 over the Vikings. Caleb Williams looks. Bears fans have to be pretty impressed, right? Because it's not just through the air where he's been wildly accurate. That wasn't really the problem last year. He didn't turn the ball over. He only had 5 interceptions. The problem is he wasn't scoring touchdowns through the air. He only had 18 of those. Well, so far, no touchdowns, no turnovers. But he does have a touchdown on the ground. Caleb Williams, 4 of 32 rushing the football. For that touchdown I was just talking about, J.J. McCarthy had a lot of pressure. Grew up 10 minutes, 15 minutes away from the stadium, coming off an injury, basically a rookie. Last game of the Sunday, Monday night schedule. Everybody else has played. Got the stage to yourself. Division opponent. And he's looking like I thought he was going to. 5 of 8 for 48 yards. Justin Jefferson had to be pissed when they decided to go with J.J. McCarthy instead of Sam Darnold, only because those guys had a really good connection for at least a year they were together. So far, Justin Jefferson in the first half, not so much. 1 catch for only 4 yards. So the old JJ to JJ connection hasn't done a whole lot. Give me some beats before you get out of here. Overrated, underrated. And then I turn it over to the aforementioned Biff Pogi. Just kidding, that'd be awesome. Bart Winkler takes over next. The Raiders are 1-0, Ryan. Are they overrated or underrated? We're only 1 week into this thing.
I'm going to say underrated just because I do trust. I do think that Geno Smith is underrated as a quarterback, and I think they'll be underrated into where we thought they'd be. They're still not going to be a playoff team, but they're underrated still.
7 wins, 8 wins sounds about right. Although Brock Bowers got hurt in the game, but it turns out, at least according to him, that he's not going to miss any time. Speaking of NFL injuries, you brought this to my attention. I should have brought it up earlier. Brock Purdy is going to be questionable coming up on Sunday. George Kittle is out, and so is Jennings. So the injury bugs once again biting the 49ers, and we're just 1 week into this season. How about the Philadelphia Phillies right now leading the NL East, trying to get a World Series for the first time in a long time? It's crazy that Bryce Harper doesn't have a ring. Overrated, underrated, the Philadelphia baseball team.
I'm going to say underrated just because when you think of NL favorites, you still think of the Dodgers. You still think of the Padres. And then it's the Phillies, I think. They have potentially one of the best rotations. I know they're missing Zach Wheeler now, but either way, they're still a very, very good team. I know Trey Turner's hurt too, but there's so much talent on that team.
How about Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow last year, by the numbers, could have been the MVP. Obviously, in college, he did everything. National champion, number one pick, Heisman Trophy, 60 touchdowns. But if you saw yesterday, threw for like $175, only connected with Ja'Marr Chase a couple of times, missed the playoffs the last couple of years. Joe Burrow, his NFL career so far, overrated, underrated?
Overrated. He's had plagued injury seasons quite often. He had the ACL, had the wrist injury. And when you look at it, he had the trip to the Super Bowl, yes. And then last year, MVP numbers. So if you look at it, it's 50-50. It's on and off with him. But for a number one pick, it's not bad. It's just a little bit overrated.
Yeah, he's better than other number one picks. He's better than Bryce Young. He's better than probably Caleb Williams going to be. He's better than Trevor Lawrence. But then again, how do you miss the playoffs? I don't blame Burrow. If anything, that's a defense / Zach Taylor problem. So we'll see what the Bengals are. I don't really think they're part of the Super Bowl conversation in the AFC. Earlier today, I talked about I used to play a lot of paper football back in the day in my 7th grade science class. You ever played a game of paper football, Ryan?
I have.
Overrated and underrated?
I would say underrated.
Yes.
On for table games. Yes.
My man.
Fool around with. But I think from my era, I think they moved away from like folding pieces of paper into a football. They actually sold like mini plastic.
Of course they did.
Like mini plastic ones that are like team logos. They'd be in like in the quarter machine.
Of course they did.
And you could use one of those instead.
If you're not going to make it money, then it's not worth it. Back in my day, we would just fold up one of the assignments. All of a sudden, you got yourself a football and you got yourself a game. There's probably some people that are listening right now like, what the hell is paper football? Just Google it. How about the Florida State football program? They are all the way back in the top 15.
I'd say they're underrated right now just because when you think about it, they lost their starting quarterback. They lost two star edges on that team. So you look at last year as a rebuilding season, a retooling season.
Yeah.
And they beat Alabama. So what do you expect? It's just they're back on track. It was a fluke season, you could say.
All right. So I'm sure you're familiar with the Phillies Karen that we talked about earlier in the game. So she wanted the home run ball because it landed in her seat, and the guy was trying to get it for his kid. And then eventually the guy handed it to the Phillies Karen, which to me is like, bro, how are you going to teach that kid? How are you going to teach that example to your kids? You did the right thing or you did the wrong thing. He did a little bit of both. That just confuses him. Nobody needs that. Bringing your glove to a baseball game, Ryan, overrated and underrated?
Depends how old you are. How old are we talking?
An adult, a 43-year-old man.
It's overrated. It's not even overrated. It's just weird at that point.
No. It's not weird. What's weird is...
No, it's weird.
No, it's not. What's weird is my buddy Taylor, who probably is 43 years old, we went to a game earlier this year. Not only did he bring his baseball glove, he brought his batting glove to wear under his baseball glove. That's weird.
Yeah, I'd say both, because if you're not going to catch it with your bare hands, there's no point... I feel like it's more manly to catch it with your bare hands.
Sure, and more entertaining and all that, but if you're going to wear a batting glove, and I'm 1,000% serious, I probably should have asked him, what's the plan? Is it protect your hand under the glove, or is it maybe they're going to need me to take an at-bat, so I need to have my batting glove? Either way, it makes absolutely no sense.
It's aesthetic. It looks cooler.
No, it doesn't, though.
I don't know. First baseman wear mitts all the gloves under it. Catchers do it sometimes.
You know what look cool is a Michael Jackson glove. Like, wear one of those to a game. I'd respect you. Do you remember? Like, it's one thing to go with a batting glove. You look like an idiot. If you're an adult going with a baseball glove, I'm not going to judge you. If you go with a Michael Jackson glove and do the moonwalk up and down the rows, you're my guy. Speaking of Michael Jackson, we were talking about James Taylor. Are you a James Taylor guy? Overrated, underrated?
Should I know one of his songs?
Sweet it is to be. And that might not even be one of his songs. All right, we're watching Caleb Williams right now. Caleb Williams, just this season, what do you think, overrated, underrated?
I would say this season?
Yeah.
A little bit overrated, just because he's really done nothing. He's only got 10 points, and we're in the second half.
But he's 13-17 for $112 and 4-32 on the ground. Let's see what happens. I think Caleb Williams this year is going to make Chicago fans wildly optimistic for next year. And I know Chicago fans always have to hear next year's the year, but it does feel like if you look at this division, Green Bay's good, but Green Bay certainly has a window, especially on the defensive side. Detroit's window's closing. We don't know a lot about Minnesota. They're going with J.J. McCarthy. That's the great unknown team in the NFL this year. Who knows what they're going to be? And then you got the Bears. So what I'm saying is, Bears fans, if you can wait until next year, year number three for Caleb, when he's got a lot of chemistry with Ben Johnson, especially if you can build 7 or 8 wins this year, heading into next year, the Bears are going to be, I would say, a top 3-4 NFC team. How about John Harbaugh? We keep hearing this number that he blew another double-digit lead. That's crazy that 17 times in his career, his team's blown a double-digit lead as the head coach of the Ravens. Overrated, underrated. He does have a ring.
He's an overrated big game coach. I feel like he's great against...
I like that.
He's great against the teams that he should beat, and there's no reason why he beats up on the, I don't know, the Jets and the Browns always. It's just... It just seems that he can't put teams away in the playoffs. And I know people put that on Lamar, but there's other things that go on in the games where you're like, okay,
crazy bad luck. Seriously, there's something else going on, some sixth sense stuff. Like, how do they lose the first game of the season last year with Isaiah Likely shoe being a half size too big? They somehow lose the game where they were up all the points yesterday. They had a 99% chance of winning. They lose a playoff game where Mark Andrews drops the ball. None of that is really on the coach or on Lamar Jackson. To me, it's just some weird, funky, bad luck. After the game, Josh Allen took the microphone and had some words for the Bills fans that left early. Leaving a sporting event early, overrated or underrated?
Underrated, just because depends how the game is going, but I don't blame any of the Bills fans for leaving.
Absolutely not.
Because it was a 15-point game with, what, like 6 minutes left?
And the traffic, and it's a school night? Yeah, you got to get out of there. And look, you get to listen to it on the radio, and you know I love me some sports on the radio, although it's you got to lie about it too, right?
Oh yeah.
Like if somebody asks you, if you stayed, you got to be like, yeah, no, I was there. I was absolutely there for sure. That was a fast 4 hours of radio. Thanks for checking me out. Thanks also to everybody that called in and to all of our guests. We had on Jay Binkley from 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Jeremy Kahn joined us to talk some Ravens football. That must have been tough. He's on Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show, and Will Ortner joined us to talk some college football. For Ryan, I'm the Sports Machine. Don't go anywhere, because coming up next, Bart Winkler takes over right here on the Infinity Sports Network.